Welcome to Mindful Movement with Naya, a podcast about all things mind-body connection. I'm Naya Kalmels, nationally certified Pilates teacher, yoga teacher, integrative movement specialist, and owner of Mindful Movement. This podcast is meant to educate, elevate, and inspire anyone interested in feeling and moving better. I'm so glad that you're here. Let's get started. Hello, and welcome to the Mindful Movement with Naya podcast. Today, I'm so excited to have our guest, Valen Kiefer. She is a patient advocate, an author. She is doing amazing work with people who have been diagnosed with polycystic kidney disease, and she is a transplant recipient herself. She also has dealt with She has also dealt with scoliosis and epilepsy. Throughout her life, she has dealt with so much physical and emotional trauma, yet maintains a super positive attitude and genuine resilience. I'm so grateful to have her on the show today, and I'm going to let Valen share more of the work that she's doing and just show you what a shining light she is in this world.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here today with you. And I appreciate the opportunity to share this meaningful conversation. And I'll kick things off just a little bit about when my health journey started, which was when I was diagnosed with polycystic kidney disease at the age of 10. And I inherited that from my mother's side of the family, which goes back as far as six generations that we could trace back. And so it's deeply impacted our family. And I wound up having a really severe case of it where I was in and out of the hospital a lot through middle school and high school. And then I spent about 8 months in the hospital at 18 and 19. And that's when I wound up, they removed my kidneys, was on dialysis, and needed a life-saving kidney transplant to survive. And I was fortunate to have a good friend of the family, Sally, step forward and donate her kidney. And what's incredible is I'm now sitting here today, 21 years later, with that same kidney doing great, which is really a miracle. After my kidney transplant, I was in my early 20s and just really wanted to be able to give back and thought of everything that I went through and that I didn't want anyone else to have to go through this journey feeling alone and kind of without resources and sort of lost and no visual representation of hope like I did. And I really dove into being a patient advocate, and it's been a beautiful journey now of 20 years of sharing my story and helping to create resources to help others going through something similar. I did really well for like 14 years after my kidney transplant. There's, of course, maintenance with any health issue. So I take 20 pills a day and get monthly labs and see specialists often, but I was in really good, stable health overall. And then I got really sick again in my mid-30s and wound up needing a second transplant, and this time a liver. So that was really devastating for our family. And I went through a second transplant and was fortunate that 5 years ago I received a new liver. So I sit here today now, 21 years post-kidney transplant, 5 years post-liver transplant, and just amazing to have 2 second chances at life. But outside of all of those issues in regards to transplant, I also have epilepsy. And then why we're here today to share a conversation is about scoliosis, which has also deeply impacted my life.
Absolutely. And it's amazing to me that you're here right now, able to sit at the moment, right? and share a bit. By the way, Valen, I'm standing right now because I don't want to sit because of my own back. So I'm glad that you can at least sit comfortably right now to share a bit about your journey. And you had shared a little bit that you had herniated discs as well. Is that because of the scoliosis, or is that yet another issue in and of itself?
That stems, I think, from scoliosis and the years of having Harrington rods in my back. So I was diagnosed with scoliosis when I was in middle school and wound up having a really severe S-curve that was too far gone for a brace. And when I was in eighth grade, I had 2 Harrington rods placed from T3 to L2. So I have only 4 discs below those rods, and one herniated when I right around turning 30 years old, and the other 2 are bulged, and they all have, they're all, you know, have really been greatly impacted, I think, just from all of these years of rods being in place and those discs really taking all of the stress and movement. But I did so well after my scoliosis surgery when I was a kid. It was a long 6-month recovery, but I had no pain, not like a twinge, nothing until my disc herniated when I was 30. And then it's been just really an incredibly exhaustive journey since then, and around 10 years now of dealing with chronic pain.
Wow. And you are no stranger to being a medical patient. And it sounds from what I've heard from some of the other podcasts you've done and articles you've written that you have a great relationship with your medical team for your transplant. How is it having chronic back pain and specifically the herniated disc? Do you have a care team for that? What's been your experience?
Well, I think I had wonderful care when I was back in Pennsylvania where I grew up. The surgeon that did my surgery and cared for me the whole time being there, he was very supportive and empathetic and an incredible surgeon and doctor. But since moving out to the West Coast, I have really struggled to find another doctor that compared to him. I don't know if I was just really lucky or what, but I think it's been challenging for me to find a doctor that I can really connect with and that has a lot of empathy in regards to pain and what I'm going through. I think it's a very complex thing to go through. And I've even experienced meeting a doctor that said to me that no one has died of pain. And I, of course, have never gone back to him again. So I think it's been, pain is a very tricky thing as far as discussion and being able to talk to people about it and comfortable, because I always say, who wants to hear about pain? And I think that's why I'm sort of more quiet on this topic. You know, all my advocacy tends to be on organ donation and transplant, and I haven't really found outlets yet to talk about this or spaces really to feel comfortable in opening up about it. And so I've struggled to find a doctor in regards to caring for my back. But my family doctor has actually been the most supportive, which is just incredible. He's been wonderful. But it's a very complex issue that really affects a lot of my body besides just thinking of it as like lower back pain.
Tell me a little bit more about that when you say it affects more of your body versus just the lower back.
So if I say to somebody that, like, you know, I have a complicated spine and had scoliosis surgery, I think it's easy to say, oh, her back hurts. But what's happened over years because of the instability of my discs is it just completely shifts my body off balance. And this instability leads to pain in other areas. So because of the S curve, I'm still off by 16 degrees. So I have shoulder pain and pain all up along my spine. My hips are shifted, so they can be like tilted and also like shifted forward. So I have hip pain and I have pain that can run down my leg, and the bottom of my feet can tingle. And then also I've been dealing with pelvic floor pain and issues like that, I think because of all the settling of everything from the rods. So it's very complex and has broadened to, you know, many areas of my body that have been impacted by it.
That makes so much sense. And I'm so sorry that you are dealing with that. And I can relate to some of it too, as well. So, yeah, it can be a journey. And, you know, I don't know much about organ transplant. And I know you said that there's definitely maintenance included in that. You also seem like somebody who is dedicated to living your life fully. How is it being a transplant patient versus somebody who has chronic back pain or herniated discs, as far as how it impacts your ability to live your life fully, at least right now?
Well, I think, you know, my transplant, of course, transplants are an everyday maintenance of taking pills every day and all of that. But I feel like it's more of my almost every decision making that revolves around my pain and scoliosis, in the sense of making sure that I don't sit too long, stand too long, lay too long. I feel like it's a consistent balance. I don't walk too much. I don't walk too little. And all of that can be so exhausting, even standing on the hard kitchen floor preparing food, or thinking of drives and how long that drive will be, and do I need to take breaks when I'm driving, or travel. If I have to travel for work, I do buffer days, I call them, which is my travel days one day, I do a day of rest before I even have the day of the engagement, and then I have a day of rest after the engagement, and then the day of travel. It is constant planning and preparing, but you to try and set yourself up for success, but you still don't know what you're going to get and what you have to react to. And there's really no set like answer for myself. I continue to strive to figure it out, but sometimes when I'm in pain, walking helps, and sometimes it sets me back more. So it's a continual trial and error every day of figuring out what works. But I really strive to live a full life, and I have zest for life, and I want to be alive and still be here. And I fought really hard, and I'm so fortunate to have been given 2 transplants and 2 second chances at life. So I have this strong fortitude to do whatever it takes to make sure I'm still enjoying myself. I have a new normal where I'm not able to walk and hike like I used to with my husband, which is really hard when you can no longer do things that you used to be able to do. But I try and focus on what I can do. So even if I'm in a lot of pain, we can go for a drive and look at beauty if I can't walk out in it. So just trying to make those different accommodations.
Yeah, I really appreciate all that you just shared. So much of it, I feel like you're speaking my language. Yeah, and also really focusing on what it is you are able to do in each moment, knowing that it does change sometimes for a day, a week, a season. So I appreciate that you've found that to kind of help you move through it. You've done a lot of patient advocacy work as someone who's dealt with chronic back pain, and I almost feel strange saying chronic back pain because I want to recognize that it's really affecting your whole body. Yeah. What would you say to other people who might have pain, or their communities, their friends, their family, their medical doctors? Like, from your experience as a patient advocate, what advice might you give them that might help them?
To encourage them to find advocacy outlets.
Mm-hmm.
So I sit here as a very passionate patient advocate for my causes, but yet haven't found this path for my back. But I can definitely say with full confidence of how much it has helped me to find others that get it in the transplant community, who have walked in my shoes, that you can throw out your lab numbers and they understand it, that they get how tedious the journey can be. And that has really helped me to not feel alone and to have those positive outlets to be able to channel all the challenges that I've gone through into something meaningful has really given purpose to the pain. So I know the value of that and the importance, and I haven't found that yet for my back, but I can appreciate why it is so good for us to see other people going through the same thing, to be able to talk with them, and also to have some type of an outlet for us to use our voices and experiences. I can also appreciate that not everybody is the type of person that wants to stand on a stage or speak in front of an audience. So finding our voice can also be in a creative way, like maybe art or something where we're channeling our experiences and emotions into something meaningful and beautiful. And it's like a healthy escape for us.
I love that. Yes. And I hear the importance of finding other people who truly understand your experience and can understand what you're saying and what that means in their body. What do you wish others knew about this experience? Again, whether it's family members, community members, what would help, somebody who doesn't necessarily have chronic pain, doesn't understand what it's like, what would you want for them to know to best support people who do live with that?
I think the importance of always listening and striving to have empathy, no matter what you're talking about with anybody, that's just such a powerful thing, because if a person feels like they're being heard, that means so much to them. I also think not to judge appearance, because we are fortunate, the both of us here, and I'm sure many in the community, we look healthy and well. And I try and wake up every day moving forward, thinking ahead, a smile on my face. But that may not be how I feel inside and what's going on physically and mentally. So I think just understanding that just because someone looks well doesn't mean that they're doing well or feel well, I think is important for us to take into consideration. Because I get a lot of times, so you had a transplant and they're like, so you're good now, or you look great. And those are, I understand the sentiments, and it's wonderful that they say that, but it could be a different story on the inside. So I think just listening, having empathy, and also knowing that appearances don't equal how somebody's feeling.
Yes, I absolutely appreciate you sharing that. I injured my own back at 25 years old, and I was the healthiest I'd ever been in my life right up until that injury. And I distinctly remember trying to walk again and people judging, you know, seeing a 25-year-old that looks healthy and wondering why it took her so long to cross the street. People would honk at me. It's like I couldn't move any faster. So I really appreciate what you're saying. Looks can be very deceiving.
Absolutely. That's horrible. And I can totally relate to how that must have felt. And I think even social media is really hard. So even if it's not just appearance, it's seeing what people are doing. Like for instance, if you see that I traveled and went on a work trip, that doesn't mean I feel well. That means I am determined to continue to do what I love, and I'm fighting for it, because the accommodations and the things that I have to do in order to be able to be there for the experiences that I want to experience in life takes so much more work than a healthy person. It's hard to visually see that. And then we also don't always want to express that because it's hard to talk about pain and feel like it's going to be received well.
Yeah, I think most people generally want to look normal, so to speak, whatever that is. So I can relate to that as well. Yeah. What have you found to be helpful as far as pain management or getting more movement through your body? Any modalities or anything that you found to at least provide some relief, even if it's temporary?
So when my disc herniated, I went through an exhaustive journey of physical therapy, pool therapy, acupuncture, massage, Pilates, Bowen work. I did as much as I possibly could and got to a point where they said, okay, we need to do a discectomy surgery. You've exhausted all efforts. We need to do the surgery for your herniated disc. So did the surgery and then wound up having a spinal fluid leak after they did the discectomy, which went to a longer recovery, which healing wasn't as well then. And it improved, I guess, the discectomy, but it didn't improve my pain. So I got to a point where it was hard to walk to the mailbox and I was in a constant flared up state. And I thought this was what life was going to be like for me. And I was in a really bad place. And then my mom actually wound up on social media seeing something called SMRT, which is spontaneous muscle release technique. And I'd never heard of it before. It's like a positional release modality. And I honestly thought that nothing was going to help me. And I usually have a positive attitude, but when mom shared it with me, it was sort of like, oh, I've tried it all. Like, it's probably not going to work. And I wound up going to a physical therapist and experiencing SMRT. And it is the one thing that has provided the greatest relief and help for me. And it has taken me down a different path of being able to have a better quality of life and more stability with all of this, in conjunction with me doing other things as well, as far as making sure I'm walking, taking good care of myself, being mindful of all the things that can increase pain and flare up. But SMRT has been really, really such a life changer for me.
I'm so glad to hear that you found something that is helpful. And it's interesting that it kind of came up via social media, not through your normal medical channels.
I know. It was never recommended to me through seeing all of those individuals. It was my mom seeing a friend who posted about it.
I've found, at least for myself with back pain, a lot of the modalities that I have used that I've found to be effective are usually through word of mouth, people who've experienced something similar and have had some success with it are so happy to share and really want you to try it because they want you not to be in pain. So like you said before, meeting and knowing other people who've had similar responses, who can share what has worked for them. Not that it's going to work for every person the same, but at least to share other options that may not always be so mainstream or so well known.
I think that's very important. And this taught me to never lose hope in regards to it. And everybody does respond differently. And to understand that and not give up if you try something and say, well, it worked for them, but it didn't work for me because my friend swore by acupuncture. And that just wound up not being positive for me. But then I tried SMRT and it was just the greatest relief and help for me.
I'm so glad to hear that.
Thank you.
What would you say to people who want to live a full and healthy life, regardless of what state they might be in? When I look at your own journey, I am so inspired by your positive mindset and by all the things that you've been able to achieve despite numerous health challenges. How do you do it? And what would you recommend to others to help find their way?
Oh, goodness. I think my greatest thing that has helped me is to focus on forward motion and purpose and always something to drive me to continue to move forward in the sense of physically and mentally. That has been the biggest thing of becoming a patient advocate and having that purpose of using my personal experiences to help other people has really been a driving force that fuels me every day of like a reason for all I've gone through. And I can turn this into something meaningful. I can create resources for other people. That has been really impactful and helped me. Of course, the circle of support that I have has been incredible. I am not great at asking for help, but it really is important that we do that. I think that's really been helpful for me. And I think finding a healthy escape is really good because pain is really exhausting and it can impact us emotionally. So to have something that gives us a little bit of joy and an escape if possible, which for me, that's nature. If I can just get out and breathe fresh air, it can just help me get away from everything when I'm in the thick of it. And I think also thinking, you know, advocating for ourselves has been a huge thing in my journey of learning to speak up, find the right team, and we know our bodies best. So we know if something's going on and if someone's not listening to us, then it's important for us to trust our gut. I've experienced that multiple times on my journey. And I also want to share just to be creative in your care, like not just like, just trust yourself and be creative. Like if I can share a recent example with my SMRT is I saw my SMRT therapist once a week for 5.5 years. And he changed my life so much that I held on to everything with him. And I just thought to myself, if I didn't have him, I don't know what I would do. And he wound up passing away several months ago. And I just thought to myself, what was life going to be like without him? And I wound up finding two SMRT therapists, but they lived in San Francisco, which was a couple hours away. And I wound up finding one of the therapists that was willing to meet me halfway. And the halfway point was at a friend's house in Vacaville. And so thanks to the flexibility of the SMRT therapist, the generosity of my friend, and my creativity and willpower to know that this is what helped me and not to let anything stop me from getting this treatment and, you know, finding the next path for me in regards to it. I've now seen her 8 times and doing well. And so sometimes we just have to have that perseverance and get creative and know what we need. It's definitely, it can be an exhaustive journey and it does take work and it's worth fighting for.
I so appreciate you saying that. And yes, perseverance. Wow, if there's one thing I could take away from what you just shared is having the perseverance to keep going and keep trying. And I love what you said about getting creative, because clearly you have. And that's not easy. Just having to drive sometimes can be challenging. So I can really imagine the amount of perseverance it must take on your part to be able to get the SMRT that seems to be so helpful. So good job.
Thank you. Thank you.
Absolutely. Is there anything else that you would like to share about your journey, whether it's related to your back or the advocacy work that you're doing? I know that you have a podcast that'll be coming out in April, Unpacking the Gift of Life. Would you just share a little bit about that?
Yes, absolutely. I'd love to. I just hope, today that people have been inspired that they aren't alone, and also empowered that hopefully there's something out there for each of us. I surely did not find it right away. It took years to find something that helped me. So just the hanging in there and continuing to try, as tiring as it can be, and to be willing to try multiple modalities and different paths to try and help us, because I think what I've learned that's really important is that it won't be one thing that really helps us. It's a combination of things. And I've learned that over the years. And also to not get discouraged, which I still do, but I'm going to put it out there of trying not to get discouraged, because there is no guidebook or exact formula for each of us. It can be very frustrating. But to try and learn what are the several things that you know help you. Like for myself, it's Pilates, easy stretching, walking, SMRT, those type of things like that. And also having something positive to focus on each day and having the healthy escape. So just try and find those things for yourself and appreciate that it's going to be in combination that hopefully you'll get to feel at as best as you can in, what you're dealing with. And as far as personal advocacy, there is a lot of really wonderful things going on that I'm fortunate to be involved in the kidney disease and organ donation communities. And the most recent is that I'm just launched a podcast that I'm a co-host of, titled Unpacking the Gift of Life, which I'm really excited about. The first episode will come out the beginning of April. And I welcome everybody to go to my website to learn more. It will be focused on the emotional wellness journey of kidney disease and transplant, and really focusing on the impact of our emotions dealing with this lifelong journey, focusing on the importance of mental wellness, and really having authentic conversations and giving a space for people to come to where they don't feel alone and they can hear topics discussed that aren't commonly talked about in our community, like family planning and things like that. So I'm excited about it. And everybody can learn more if they're interested about my story and advocacy efforts on my website, which is valenkiefer.com.
Thank you so much, Valen. You're doing amazing work. I think I might reach out to you in the future to get you in on the whole chronic pain, back pain community as well, because we need someone like you. You're absolutely amazing. Thank you so much for taking the time to share your journey with us today. And listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. I am so inspired by you, Valen, and I hope that this is just one of many future conversations together.
Thank you so much. It means a lot to have this platform and to meet all of you. And I wish all of you out there all the very best.
Thank you. That wraps up this episode of Mindful Movement with Naya. If you'd like to contribute to the show, we'd appreciate your support through Buy Me a Coffee, link in show notes. If you enjoy the show, please rate, review, subscribe, and share. It takes less than a minute and it really helps us out. If you'd like more Mindful Movement resources, check out our website at nayapilates.com.